We'll be in Matthew 6 today. That's page 964 in the chair Bibles. Matthew 6, and looking at verses 19 to 34 this morning. You thought I was going to say Mark, didn't you? Mark is in Cokeville today. Matthew 6. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin and ask His help in this time. Father, I come to You. Lord, as much as we have a desire, we have many things in our life pressing. Lord, give us a time to hear Your small, still voice and Your word that will work in our hearts. That we would know You. That we hear Your words, that we would let them come into our heart and change us to be like Jesus Christ. Lord, that You would renew us day by day, moment by moment. And as we are transformed into Your image, we would be a brilliant light to those around us. That we would be committed to Your service, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I encourage you to come to Sunday school. Some of what we were discussing in Sunday school this morning is going to have connections this morning, as it often does. The unity of Scripture is such that Sunday school, the lesson could be about something completely different and yet connect so deeply with the morning message and the Wednesday night's studies. If you can, I encourage you to come. It would be for your benefit and your growth and encouraging to everyone else. We're about to hit fall, hopefully. In fact, I saw just the other day on Facebook, a meme. It was a video, and a woman in the deep southeast saw two leaves fall, and so it was fall. It was time to do, as we, my wife and I, like to kid about all the white girl things, get the pumpkin spice latte and get out all the sweaters and everything else. Maybe that is not your experience, but for some people, they wait for that. They wait for that change. Our children have just gone through a change, right? School. It has come again, the great taskmaster. And now they're in new classes, new teachers maybe, maybe even new students in their classes. But at the same time, what's different? That there's an old popular song, I will not do all of it because I have not the words, but the more things stay the same, the more they change, right? Or that's backwards. It might be the other way. I don't remember. I'm not old enough to have heard the song originally, okay? But at the same time, as those words ring true, because they were actually taken from the book of Ecclesiastes, which says life is vanity, it's a wind, it doesn't seem to change and changes all the time. As we hit those changes, some of which can produce anxiety, some of which can really put wrinkles in our life, and as things seem to stay the same, and some people get bored in the humdrum. Question is, what is your priority? Have you ever looked at your to-do list? Maybe you don't have one because you finally gave up. Even looking at the list can be anxiety-inducing because of all the things you're trying to do. And you realize you have to prioritize certain things, right? If one thing is going to get done, the other thing may not, right? If the dog is going to get it walked in the morning, then sleeping in may not, right? What's your priority? Let's go to Matthew 6 and pick up in verse 19. Jesus here teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, preaching to really his disciples. Even though the crowd is there, he's preaching to his disciples. It says in verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your body, whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. But then the light in you is darkness. How great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor eat nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies in the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need, that you need them all. But you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What is your priority? We live in a very anxious world. Today is the day that if you are a pharmaceutical salesperson, to push anti-anxiety medication. Sadly, Christians are often anxious too. And for good reason. Some of you are thinking about work tomorrow. Because let's face it, work is coming, whether you like it or not. Some are thinking even what you're having for lunch. I'm somewhere around there myself. And we get anxious. We start dwelling on these things. Because our life is temporal. Our life is here until, as we were discussing in Sunday school, until God makes everything new. And we have to pay bills. We have to keep the lights on. The tax guy comes around and wants his fair share or unfair share. Kids need clothes. Kids got to go to school. This has to happen. That has to happen. And we get anxious. Often because our priorities are out of whack. Jesus here teaching the disciples tells us to first prioritize the temporal over the temporal immaterial. Now, Jesus never tells the disciples here to don't go to work. In fact, often he tells them, be busy. What Jesus here is addressing is their priorities. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why? Because moth and dust corrupts them. prioritize gaining the eternal instead of the temporal, the material. Instead, lay up for yourselves treasure where? In heaven. Now, unfortunately, there's no little app that, like, you can take on your phone, you know, you get paid and you can scan the check and, you know, it goes in the bank account, right? There's no heavenly app for banking. What is Jesus talking about? Is he saying we should take our money all, give it to the church and all these sort of things that some people would say? No. He's talking about our priorities. What is the first thing you're pursuing? If your life is all about the temporal, the material here is going to reveal some things. If that's your first priority, it shows that our hearts are stuck here. What you love shows where your heart is. In fact, Jesus talks about it this way. He talks about it as our treasure. Lay up your treasure in heaven where moth and nor rust destroys, where thieves don't bring in steel. Why? Because where your treasure is, where your heart will be also. What we prioritize, what we treasure, what we desire, what we pursue, first of all, determines our eternal values. Determines that treasure we've laid up in heaven or not. The thing we're pursuing the most. Our treasure determines what we love. Do you love God or money? You can't serve both. Our treasure, what we focus on, what we prioritize, determines even our spiritual health. Did you notice Jesus says, if your eye is healthy, he's talking about what we're desiring, what we're pursuing there. If that's healthy, the rest is healthy, you've got light. If not, how great is the darkness? Somebody please turn on a light, right? Jesus is teaching his disciples because they are going to be left in a world that is still pursuing all these things. A world that when Jesus ascends after his death for them, after his resurrection, is still stuck on the merry-go-round. You ever seen the old commercial? I think it was a Dunkin' Donuts commercial. The guy comes in from the house from making the donuts, and then it seems like he just turns around and leaves the house to go make the donuts. I think that was a late 80s, early 90s one. Time to make the donuts. Go home from making the donuts. Time to make the donuts, right? You ever feel like that? Time to go to work. You got home from work. Time to go to work. You been there? You ever been on the hamster wheel and never gotten anywhere? Why? Because our priorities are stuck here in the temporal. They're stuck here on the material. We're pursuing things, and God has given us all things richly to enjoy. But sometimes they become our God. They become our priority. So Jesus says, be careful here. Don't lay up your treasure here. Lay it up in heaven. Because here it's just going to break down. Here, as we read this morning in our Sunday school, here it's going to get burned. Lay it up in heaven, because what we treasure reveals a lot about us. Shows what our heart is really loving. It determines even who is our master. You know, over and over again, Jesus is called Master in the New Testament. We are to be his servants. Not just pastor. You and I. And Jesus plainly says here, verse 24, you cannot serve two masters. Have you ever had two bosses at work? How well does that go? I was serving in a unit in South Carolina, and I worked for, well, I was supposed to work for a colonel chaplain, and I was supposed to be his learner, But then the big boss came by. Fulberg Colonel, who is the head of the chaplain corps, and he came by. And have you ever felt like you need to be split in two just to accomplish everything? One poor little lieutenant trying to do what two colonels say at the same time. It was not pretty. It was not easy. There were two masters. Jesus says you're going to love one and despise the other, despise the one and love the other. You can't serve God and this world, this money, these things here, both. You can only have one master. You have to prioritize the eternal. What's going to last over the temporal and material? In fact, Jesus here goes on to give us some facts. He tells us here, picking up in verse 25, that our toil tells us some things too. Therefore, I tell you, don't be anxious about your life, what you eat, what you drink, what you wear. Jesus isn't just going after you ladies, okay? Some of us guys are over there about what we will eat, and you're over there with what will we wear. We're all stuck in here together, okay? Don't be anxious. Look at the birds. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value? Now, this isn't Jesus telling us, well, don't go to work, don't do these things, God will just provide. He's saying, don't make it your priority. Don't make it the thing that determines all aspects of your life, that you give up everything else for this one thing. Us men have more of a difficulty with this oftentimes because often our jobs define us, right? When someone comes up and asks you, you know, who you are, and you say, well, I'm this. I'm an innkeeper. I work on the ambulance. I'm a rancher. Us men are often defined by our roles, by our jobs. Jesus is saying, why is that your first priority? Why is that the thing that takes over your life? Yeah, you have needs, but have you looked at a bird lately? Have you ever seen a bird out there with a little loom trying to get the cloth spun to put on some clothes? No! God provides for the bird. God provides for you through your work. So why are we so desperately focused on it? Why are you so anxious about it? Father feeds them. Verse 27, which of you being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? Not one of us. In fact, studies show that anxiety over life often shortens it. Why are you anxious about clothing? Verse 28, consider the lilies, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin, yet tell you even Solomon all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Simple flower. See, we need to start understanding what our toil, our anxiety is from a heavenly perspective. We understand that the material here, the clothing, the food, the money, all these things that we can have anxiety over, all these things that we can prioritize, have no effect on the eternal. Why do you worry about it? Sure, we need to pay our bills here. We need to be good citizens, all these things. We need to take care of our families. But in the grand scheme of things, you can't take it with you. So why are you worried about it? Maybe you're like me. You've been watching some of the market changes. it looks like the market's having a heart attack. You're going, well, I'm never retiring. And you can look at that and start to get anxious. I know I can. And remember, okay, who clothes the birds? Who arrays the flowers to be more beautiful than Solomon? Is our perspective, is our priority on the things instead of the Creator of all? The temporal, the material do not affect the eternal. The temporal and the material do not affect even the length of our lives, no matter what science and health care tells you. One person being anxious about their health extended by one moment. No. Now, should we be careful with our bodies? Should we use them for God's glory? Should we take care of them? Yes. Probably why I shouldn't have two chocolate chip cookies. Okay. Let's be balanced here with our understanding of Scripture. We should care for them because we are the temple of God. God indwells us if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. But I don't care what you do, you can't extend your life by one moment beyond what God says is going to happen. We were just watching a program the other evening, and it centered around this cryogenic preservation. People are being frozen after they pass to try and reanimate them later. They want to extend their life one more moment. Where does that get them? Frozen. That's it. So why are we anxious about it? In fact, if God can clothe birds, if God can clothe the lilies, if God can clothe the grass, verse 30, why are we so anxious? Because our Father knows our temporal material needs. Why is it such a priority for us if God already knows what we need? Instead, we spin our wheels on it. We're anxious about it. We fret about it. The economy is changing. The world is changing. Yet it's staying the same. And we start to fret and we start to wonder what's going to happen. Are we going to be able to do the things we want to do? Are we going to be able to retire? Are we going to be able to put food on the table? We're all going to have to go buy a horse because no one can buy gasoline. I don't know. Have you had those thoughts lately? I've thought about it. A horse would be cheaper, I think, by now. What does Jesus say? God clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven. Will not he much more clothe you? And then he hits us right where it hurts. Oh, you of little faith. Don't you trust God enough? You're so focused on it that you've forgotten the God who can do all. A God who took a man from his homeland and created a nation. God who provided over and abundantly for that man, for his descendants, who then took them through slavery, took them to a land prosperous. And that's just the material we're talking about. What about the God who can take someone like you with all your failures and sin and redeem you? And he can't know what you need? You think he forgot you? You think he forgot what you need, what you have? And we're over there anxious, toiling. Oh no, the next crash is coming. And it may be. Do you think God knows? Jesus says here, what, if he can take care of grass, don't you think he knows what you need? You know that stuff we feed to the cows? that then is recycled back to the grass. God can take care of that. God can take care of you. Because we get so stuck here, now, temporal. And our priorities become about tomorrow. Our priorities become about gaining. Our priorities become about the now. We forget the eternal. Our toil and our anxiety reveal a few things as well. Look at verse 28 with me. Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet, I tell you, even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Our toil, our anxiety does reveal where our priorities lie. Have you ever looked at your to-do list? How many of them are about here? How many of them are, I need to talk to so-and-so because they're lost and dying and going to hell? How many of them are about advancing the gospel? How many of them are, as Jesus will finish up this passage, how many of them are about seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness? How many of your to-dos are about maturing spiritually? I know mine. They're even color-coded. Do this, do that, do that, do that. Go there, be there. Pick up. Even some good things. Prepare a sermon for Sunday. What I had to do a long time ago. Spend time in devotion with God. Go see this person who's hurting. I'd change some priorities because they're all stuck on the temporal, the material, the here, the now. Maybe yours are like that. And your anxiety is showing it. It also shows our level of faith, does it not? What does Jesus say after talking about clothing? Oh, you of little I can't possibly take the time to talk to that person. I need to get this done and do that because I want to advance. I want to buy the new thing. I want to gain. Our anxiety, our toil shows how much faith we have in God providing for us. Now, I'm not saying y'all quit our jobs. Come and we spend all day at church all the time. As wonderful as that would be, as much as we look forward to that being reality when God makes all things new and we dwell with God, that's not reality right now, is it? Probably within a week, we'd all be very hungry and starting to vote on who we're going to eat. Okay? Nobody wants to do that. But God, what Jesus is getting at here is our priorities showing how much we value God, how much we trust God. Well, God can't be trusted with clothing me. How am I going to trust him to redeem me? Now, some of us probably take this a little too far and think, well, God will just keep the clothes from running out and I will never have to buy new ones. And I hope I never do. That's where I am. I hate clothes shopping. My wife has to lovingly look at me and go, you need a new shirt. Stop wearing that one. But it's air conditioned. You're anxious. There's turmoil. Things are changing, but things never seem to get any better. Trying to advance, trying to get further in our job, and all these things that shows just how little we trust God. Lastly here, as Jesus deals with our priorities and prioritizing toiling for the eternal over the temporal and material, he calls us to toil for the eternal. Did you notice how Jesus ends this passage? After telling us, why are you so anxious? The Gentiles are looking for the same thing. Now look where they're getting. Jesus, in contrast, says, instead of seeking what the Gentile seeks, and really he's using this in a way to describe the current world, instead of going and pursuing and being anxious the way this world is, you seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Does that mean it's the newest, greatest, latest? No. Sometimes it is. Sometimes God says, you know what? You've been faithful and you need a new thing. Here's the brand new one. And you're like, God, I wasn't looking for that one. I was happy with 6 models old. God does give us things to richly enjoy. But our priority must be his kingdom, must be his righteousness. Now you're probably wondering, what in the world does that look like? I haven't seen a throne set up lately. Right, wouldn't that be great? The reign of Jesus, we don't have to vote anymore. You don't have to worry about that. Which politician am I taking a chance on next? I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to being fully realized. So how do we seek first the kingdom of God? How do we seek his righteousness? Do you know you have the answers in your lap? What is the kingdom of God? His rule, his reign? Seeing it more and more in the people around us? Quite succinctly, sharing the gospel and living the gospel. Seek first his kingdom. Adding the numbers. Seek first his kingdom, being a good citizen of it. Seek first his righteousness. If you peruse the New Testament over and over again, when it talks about the coming day of the Lord, which is a term filled with both judgment and great glory, many times, even as Pastor was dealing with in 1 Peter, it's where righteousness dwells. Because that's the character of God. Jesus here, while on earth, while walking this earth, says, you pursue God's righteousness. He doesn't say you become perfect in worldly standards. He says, pursue God's righteousness. Seek it. Find it. Seek and find and pursue and enlarge the kingdom of God. Some would erroneously take this text here and try and to tell you that we can cause the coming of Jesus or establish God's kingdom on this earth. Only God can do that. None of us can make a perfect nation because we're all sinners and we're bound to mess it up. But it doesn't mean we don't pursue. That looks like in our to-do list, our priorities. Things like speak to so-and-so about the gospel. It means having tasks like spend time and blocking it off, spend time with God in His Word. Have you ever noticed those are the things that often get pushed off the list first? Have you ever come to Monday? Whatever your Monday is. Some of us don't have Monday Mondays. We have Tuesday Mondays or Thursday Mondays. And your list is about yay long. I think, well, let me get all this done. I got to kind of move some things. And one of the first things to go is time with God. Is that pursuing His kingdom and His righteousness? No. And we wonder why we're anxious. We wonder why our toil seems like the hamster stuck in the wheel and never getting out. Jesus addresses it here after He's addressed so many countercultural things. He addresses our priorities. Another passage deals with it this way. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Love God with everything you are. How long again would you stay connected with that spouse or significant other if you never were a priority? Jesus says, put your priorities first. Seek God, His kingdom, His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God will provide what you need. In fact, Jesus closes with, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Don't borrow from tomorrow. You worry about tomorrow? That project? The hay has to get up, right? It's going to rain. Oh, no. The cows have to be fed. The work has to be done. Customers need to be taken care of. Yes, all these things. But why are you anxious about it? Glorify God by putting hay up. Glorify God by meeting a customer's need and telling them about the one who can meet all their needs. Glorify God in the project and doing it with all your might. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. The Bible speaks about this over and over again. In closing, Jesus even addressed it in passing in this passage we read this morning for our scripture reading. Here comes a young man who's anxious about his eternal soul. I've done everything right, Jesus. Well, we know that's not true because he's covetous of his own money. So all you have, and he goes away weeping. Peter asks a significant question there. We've given up everything, Jesus. What about us? You'll have houses and lands and brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers in this life and even more in the next. They may not look like you, but they're still going to be your brothers and sisters. They may not have your name on the mortgage, but you'll lay your head there. We is Jesus telling Peter, follow me. Just like he did the young man. Follow me. So why are we anxious? The world's changing. That can induce some anxiety. The toil seems to never get us anywhere. That can induce some anxiety too. All because our priorities are on the here and the now and not the eternal. So why are you anxious? Isn't the life more than food, drink, what you'll wear? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. Another passage says, asking God to do more than abundantly all we could ask or think. How's your faith? Do you trust him? Or are you anxious? Now seek first the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. Your word has challenged us. Lord, the reality of our hearts and our lives is that we are often anxious about things. We are often toiling and feeling like we're getting nowhere. We're often anxious about the market, about providing for our families, about the next day. All because our priorities are stuck here. Lord, as we come, we ask that you help us this week to seek first your kingdom. That we see an opportunity to give the gospel. That we see an opportunity for gospel growth in our own hearts. That we pursue your righteousness. That we would seek it with all that we are. With our hearts, our minds, our souls, our strength, we would love you. Lord, take our anxiety and our fears, take our toil and turn them into your kingdom's advancement. Your righteousness being on display more in this world and in our hearts. Lord, help us to change our priorities. That even in an ever-changing and constant world that is so anxious over these things, that's pursuing them, that we would seek instead you. Lord, help us to do it this week, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming. You're dismissed.